Church today. I see new life in our churches, new power, your glory. I see by faith lives of leaders and members that are dependent on prayer, not to talk about it, but to pray. I pray that your presence will be with us tonight. Without your presence, we will be lifeless, and your truth will be powerless. I pray that every structure, every apartment, every workplace where your children are, that somehow even the bricks will be converted. And that every place, even where I am, at our headquarters, will become a sanctuary, a holy of holies, where your Shekinah glory will be seen. I know that I cannot be separated from you if I seek you the way I should. I believe that your spirit and the purpose you have for our lives will become a reality as we seek you in prayer. Thank you so much, and may your divine touch be ours as we pray for everybody in the New York Conference under your leadership as Brother Miguel Crispo, president of that conference, leads your people. I know I need you tonight, and I thank you that we can be together one more time. Amen. If you're on the Global Power Bible Prayer Hotline and you have come for the ninth day, the ninth evening of the 10-day encounter, and the 10-day will really be wrapped up on Sabbath, the 11th day, and you would like to pray, would you come in now and join me in prayer, please?
My Savior, my Redeemer, and my friend, what a privilege and a pleasure it is to join on this global prayer line with my family to lift up your name. Lord, it's not by accident that we are experiencing this 10 days prayer and fasting, because we need the purging that only your word through the Holy Spirit can give. And I have felt that effect myself. I pray that our leaders, wherever they might be, will be a recipient of this purging, so that they can be whiter than the snow, so that when they proclaim your word, it will be your word according to the moving of the Spirit, so others will hear like a magnet. Join us together in oneness and lifting up the trumpet. Lord, I pray for the leader of the Northeastern Conference, for the World Conference, for my church and the churches round about. I pray for the people who have a hungering and a thirsting for this global prayer hotline, and who come to lift up your name. Empower us by the moving of your word, so we can stand fast the profession of our faith. We leave everything totally and completely in your hand. Have your own way and take full control of this evening's proceeding, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Anyone else on the line to join us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessing of being on this night of prayers. Thank you for what you have done for us, Lord. And thank you for what you are going to do in our lives. Please continue to be with us as we come together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening, Sister Joanna, Sister Moy. Is there anyone else?
Heavenly Father, precious Savior, we give you praise and we give you thanks. You're a mighty and a loving God. Father, we thank you for going through this 10 day of prayer and fasting. And Lord, I thank you for how you have worked on this prayer line, how you have drawn us closer to you. I pray, dear Father, for your blessings upon Sister Amanda, Sister Pat, and every one of your children gathered on this prayer line. I pray, dear Father, that you will help us to never be the same again, that we will purpose in our hearts to worship you in the beauty of holiness and to do your will, no matter what it takes. Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask these blessings in the mighty name of Jesus. Thanksgiving, I pray. Amen.
Good evening, Sister Jubilee. Good to hear your voice.
How
is the 10 days going along at your church?
Very well, Sister Pat. I am so blessed. People are coming out, and it's really a blessing. The message is great. I am trying to get what I can get on the prayer line in the morning and also in the evening. As I drive, I'm on my way driving, and I'm almost there in church. So when I get there, I'll have to leave the line. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing.
Give them my regards. Without prayer, your church or any other prayer is like a dead body.
Yes.
When prayer becomes an unfamiliar exercise, then God is a stranger, and he is in many of our churches. But with prayer, that church can become a divine sanctuary.
Thank you so much. I honestly believe that.
Yeah.
And we are doing our best. I'm seeing a difference already, and I give God all the praise and honor and glory. And thank you so much for the encouragement that you have given to me and for what I have received by God's children on this line.
God is good, and I'm looking for you at the School of Prayer on Sunday.
Yes, yes. God's willing, I'll see you.
Okay, wonderful. So, loving Savior, your daughter senses how essential your divine touch is, and I am glad that she's persistent. Take her as she's almost there. May the church tonight see that you are almost here to take your children home. And as you bless Jackson Heights Seventh-day Adventist Church, may through prayer every spot in that church be affected, every occasion, and whatever the circumstances may be, may there be an intimacy and a special relationship in that house, because it is becoming a house of prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Pat. Lots of love and blessings to you and all on the line.
Love you. Love you, sweetheart. Just want to say good evening to God's people. There are so many things to cover, and I want you to get the benefit of everything that God is giving to us tonight. Who is on the line? Anybody? You care to give your name tonight as we go into this ninth evening of prayer, as we meet our great high priest. Anybody on the line?
Hi, Sister Julie.
I have Sister Amoy, Sister Joanna, Sister Jubilee on her way to church. Who else do we have?
Hi, Sister Julie.
My name is not Sister Julie. My name is Pat.
I'm sorry, Pat. I'm sorry. How you doing? You know the point is going. How you doing?
I recognize you, Brother Glenn. How are you this evening?
All right, yourself?
Not bad at all, dear. Not bad at all. It is good to hear your voice.
Good to hear you, too.
Yes. I want to invite God's children to come with me into the Word as we go into this ninth day of Bible study on the sanctuary. Will you kindly go with me to the book of Peter, 1 Peter 4, verse 7 and 12 through 18. 1 Peter 4, 7, and then 12 through 14. Anybody on the line with me, and you would like to read the Word of God? Anybody? Anybody on the line?
I'm going to try.
Okay, 1 Peter 4 and verse 7 and 12 through 18. Loving Lord, as we open your word, give us your understanding, I pray. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye sober. The Lord is speaking to every one of us on the line tonight. Sister Amoy, Sister Joanna, Sister Jupiter, Brother Glenn, and if anyone is a silent listener, he is speaking to you. Be sober and watch unto prayer.
I'm going to attempt to read from 12.
By your grace, dear Lord, we will pray. By God's grace, before I go on to the other verses, with prayer, the house of God becomes a divine sanctuary. So the tabernacle moving about from place to place becomes the Holy of Holies. we have been meeting with our high priest, because God and prayer must be in the tabernacle. Tonight he says to you and me, without prayer, the building may be costly. It may look perfect in its structure. It may be attractive to the eye, but it comes down to the human with nothing divine in it. And it is on a level with all other buildings. As we continue to read verses 12 through 18 from the Word of God. Sister Amoy, are you able to read?
I'm going to try.
Beloved, okay.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be...
Pause at the commas. Pause. That's what they're there for. So you can get the full meaning. You're rushing too much. Continue.
If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part he is even spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first...
I want you to read this slowly. Because we are in the sanctuary, and it is talking about the judgment hour.
Okay. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what shall the end of this be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteousness scarcely...
No. Let me help you. Your voice is going. I'm going to go back with verses 17. Thank you for making an attempt to read. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Loving Lord, you are making things very clear. And you are speaking in a very profound way. And in verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. It means much to commit to the keeping of our souls to God. It means that we are to live and walk by faith, not trusting in or glorifying self, but looking to Jesus, our advocate. Loving Lord, I pray for Letitia James, New York's advocate. beautiful young lady. But I look beyond Letitia James, and I look to you. And I pray that we will see you where you are and what you're doing as the author and finisher of our faith. The Holy Spirit will do its work upon the heart that is contrite, but never, ever can he and will he work upon a self-important, self-righteous soul. In his own wisdom, such a one would mend himself. He interposes between his soul and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will work if self will not interpose. While we are still there, we go on to 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9. Is there anyone on the line that you would care to join in the reading? Anyone on the line? The Lord is speaking.
Sister Joanna.
All right, Sister Joanna, come on in.
1 Peter 5:6-9. Dear Father, please give us understanding of the word your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
It's Jesus that we cast all our cares on. Not mommy, not daddy, not the bank, not the pastor, not the elder, but on Jesus Christ, our advocate. He is the one that cares and will be able to care for us. Go on, dear.
Amen. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
I'm going to go over that again. Be sober. Don't be drunk with the wine of Babylon and the cares of this life. Be vigilant. We must constantly be in the word. We must constantly be in prayer. Why? Because your adversary, my adversary, and in case we don't know who that is, it's the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Go on, baby. Verse 9.
Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
What is that saying to you as you read that, Joanna?
That I need to be to walk humbly before the Lord and resist the devil.
The Bible tells us we are to humble ourselves, not to ask the Lord to humble us.
Yeah.
You see that? Okay, go on, baby.
And to be vigilant, to be in God's word and in prayer is very important so that we will not give in to the enemy. And believing that I'm not the only one going through it, but
there are
other brethren that are going through the same.
I'm glad you brought that in, because it's right there. So none of us need to have a pity patty party. We need to realize others are going through. Isaiah 61 and verse 11. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. God can use you and he can use me in ways that would be so powerful, but we must make sure that the Lord is leading and that the Lord is guiding his children. If you have just come on the Global Power Bible Prayer Hotline, we want to welcome you. It is the 7 to 8 watch, and we are continuing in the study of the censer as we look to the Lord this evening in fervent prayer. Is there anyone on the line you care to give your name at this time as you have come? Anybody on the line? Loving Lord, I assume that many of your children are away at church or preparing for the I am asking you, Lord, to touch your children and cause everyone to go on mute, even now. Amen. Everyone, I'm asking you to go on mute as we deal with the censer tonight.
Good evening.
God's word speaks to us. And as God's word speaks to us, we are to respond to the word of God, and we are to take heed. Who is that saying good evening? Who is that saying good evening?
That was me. It's Sister Erica.
How are you, dear?
I'm well, thank you.
Are you at work?
I'm leaving. I'm walking to my car.
Okay. Loving Lord, go with her as she walks to her car. There is a song, a blessed song. Jesus calls us, or the tumult of our lives, wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Amoy, Joanna, Pat, Glenn, Erica, follow me. Is there anyone on the line and you know that song? Is there anyone on the line? And you know that song.
What's the number, please?
Do you know the song, Jesus Calls Us?
Yes, I do.
Okay, then if you know the song, you know what it is in some songbook. I think it is 285 in the New Advent Hymnal. I believe it is 521 in the Old. I know it is 168 in the Christ in Song.
Wait a second.
Has been calling us through his word. Wherever God leads us to serve, we will gladly follow. Where'er we are asked to be God's servants, as Jesus was obedient to his Father, so we must be obedient to him. God wants us to become his disciples, He wants every believer to be a disciple. There's too few that are faithful as disciples. But as we look to him and as we continue in our study tonight, may the power of God be ours. Who was it that asked, what number is the song? Who was Who was it that asked, what number?
Sister Hamilton asked the number.
Good evening, Sister Hamilton.
Good evening, sis.
Good evening. How are you this evening?
I am doing good, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. As we look to the Lord, I want to serve him. I want to love him. And I want my life to be what it ought to be. Would you like to sing one of the stanzas of this song, Sister Hamilton?
Yes, sis.
Or is there anybody else on the line? You know this song and you would like to be a part of this? You know, I think of Andrew. When Jesus called him right away, he became a fisherman for the souls of men. The Lord is looking for some Andrews. The world is in need of some faithful Andrews, not just for people to get their name on a record and do nothing, but sit down. I spoke last night about Don, lost his way because of gossip. And it is so important that we look to the Lord. Jesus calls us. Jesus calls us. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Pat, follow me. Sister Hamilton.
Jesus calls us from the worship of the vapor's golden store, from each idol that would keep us saying, Christian, love me more.
In our joy and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of peace, still he calls in cares and pleasure, Joanna, love me more than thee. As you read the scripture a little earlier, would you like to do the last stanza, Sister Hamilton?
Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thy obedience, serve and love thee best of all.
As you think of the censer, would you now pray as we look to the Lord?
Thank you, Jesus, for calling me. Whether still in cares and pleasure, you have called me to follow you. I pray, God, that by your love and by your mercy, I will continue to follow you even unto death. I pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Again, if there's anyone you have not introduced yourself, we want to welcome you at this time to our ninth day of the 10 days of prayer and fasting. I read something, and in Psalm 30 and verse 5 is a very powerful scripture that is used many times, mostly at funeral services. But tonight I use it in this way. For his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Many are looking for the moment, for the morning, but God can give to you, and he can give to me something that we cannot have without him. I hope you have pencil and paper tonight. In Daniel 3, 17 through 25 is something that is rather startling as I think about the sanctuary and what the service is all about and how important it is for us to be true and faithful to the Lord. The Bible tells us that when Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah were approached and they were told to bow down to that idol, and when they heard the music and the sound of the clarinet and the flute and the harp and the sagbut and the psaltery and the dulcimer and all kinds of music, they refused to fall down. A lot of us are falling down today, and we don't realize what we are doing. But those boys said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up. The golden image that was put up on the plains of Dura is the same dimension as is the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10 is another statement that I love. And when I think how God's people ought to be and how God's people are not, the Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber, he believed in fresh air towards Jerusalem. The Bible says he kneeled on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. How many times a day do you pray? And what are the things are you praying about? When the king of Babylon asked Daniel and his three friends to bow down and worship that huge idol, they knew if they refused that they would be thrown in the fiery furnace. But they also knew their God, and it was their God that they were serving and following and worshiping. Who are you following? Who are you worshiping? And when the Persians defeated the Babylonians and took over. Daniel knew that his enemies wanted to get rid of him by having him thrown into the lion's den. So, what did he do? He had a habit. He had a conduct. He had developed an intimacy with God. And he went right to his house, looked in the direction of Jerusalem, knelt on his knees. And as he always did, at least three times a day, as he had done before, when he was thrown into the lion's den, the God of heaven that was summoned in his behalf, when Jesus called unto him, the Father in heaven sent the angel to close the lion's mouth, that they didn't even feel hungry. And the king himself, who fasted all night, went and pulled Daniel out, and he was unharmed. When Daniel 12, 1 through 4 tells us there's a time coming soon, and it's called the end of time. Someone may say the time of the end. I remember C.D. Brooks, loving Lord be with his wonderful wife, Walter Reen, their children and grandchildren. He would say, come around Thanksgiving time, the turkeys knew it was the time of the end. And as the day came when they would be killed, it was for them the end of time. And many of them died having a heart attack, not by the knife that cut their throat. Soon Michael will stand up, that great high priest, the Son of God, the great prince who stands for his people. Are you letting him stand for you now? At that time, he will deliver his people, everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We used to sing the song. I haven't heard it sung in any of our churches in a long time. Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I will make sure of heaven. I will enter the fold in the book of thy kingdom with its pages so clear. Tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? Your name can be written there if you will put your trust in the Lord. Is there somebody on the line that you would like to pray even now? As you have heard a little of what is to be said tonight as we go forward, is there anyone? Just come off star 6 and offer a short prayer. No more than 10 words, please. Anybody?
Father in heaven, I thank you for this great reminder tonight. Daniel prayed 2 times a day. Lord, help me to even pray more. Help me to stand up for you no matter what. We pray.
Amen.
Amen.
God has 3 books. The first book is the book of creation. The second book is the sanctuary. And the third book is the written word. The first book, the book of creation. Second book, the sanctuary. The third book, the written word. Because of limited time, I will go pretty fast. From the creation of the world to the present time, the one outstanding purpose of heaven has been to make known to man the character and the work of our Creator and our Redeemer. The book of nature was given to man while he lived in the Garden of Eden. And we are told that on every leaf of the forest or stone of the mountain, in every shining star, God's name was written. God's glory in the heaven was seen. The innumerable worlds in their orderly revolutions, the balancing of the clouds, the mysteries of light and sound, of day and day and night, all were open to the study of our foreparents. And you can read that in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 51. What a teacher our Heavenly Father is. And after sin marred the fair world that God had created, nature everywhere, everywhere revealed the presence and character of the evil one. Before sin, it revealed the beauty of heaven and of God. After sin, and you know this country is a beautiful country. When you drive through and you see the beauty, you say, what a gardener. But God is saying, it is the evil one whose presence and character may be found. And although the atmosphere that was once mild and uniform in temperature, it became very marked and changed. Satan had become the prince of the power of the air. And Ephesians 2:2 tells us about that. This week we have been studying about the sanctuary. About 2,500 years after the book of creation, that was man's only lesson book. And during that time, God allowed spiritual lessons in nature to be seen. And when you read Romans, you can write that down, Romans 1, 21, 25. God had called Abraham away from an idolatrous nation, that through him and his seed, he might reveal to the world his character and his divine purpose. Is the world around you seeing the character of God and his divine nature? Something for us to think about. When we think of the great communicator, every step of the way from the moment we enter the gates of the sanctuary and experience justification by accepting the offering made for our sins, typified in the court, through the lifelong process of sanctification, typified in the holy place, into the glory room, the most holy place, where are typified the blotting out of sins and the granting of life's reward. The entire work of Christ for your salvation and mine is made clear simply and beautiful as we study the book into the sanctuary. The third book that we need to be mindful, although after 1,500 years, after the century was the main book, and that book teaches the character and also the plan of salvation. It shows you and me, the sacrificial lamb, how type met anti-type. on Calvary's cross with the death of the Lamb in the earthly sanctuary. We talked about it last night when two goats were chosen. One was the Lord's goat. That one would be killed, and the sins of the priest and the people would be laid on that. The other one that represented Satan would be taken out into the wilderness, into a far place, and would be left. But the day is coming when the sins of everyone from Cain right down will be placed on Satan. What a day that will be. The Bible, what a book. And although it took 1,500 years before it was printed, when I think of Wycliffe, when I think of Tinsdale, who was burned at the stake for translating the Bible in English so you and I can read it. I want to meet Tyndale one day, but above all, I want to meet my advocate that is pleading for you and for me even now. We have been blessed. When I think of the censer and the incense, we are told that they are symbols of Christ's intercession for us. Christ, as our mediator at the right hand of the Father, ever keeps you and me in view. And he wants us to know that it is as necessary that we should be kept close to him as he wants to stay close to us as he intercedes in our behalf. Are you grateful for him? I certainly am. I certainly am. The judgment involves first the investigation of every case and the testimony of witnesses and the plea of the advocate, if there is an advocate. Right now we have an advocate. I don't know if any of you on the line remember 9/11 when Pope Benedict came to visit America. He had a censer in his hand. And he was there weaving the censer. This country is supposed to be a Christian country. And we had a Catholic priest there advocating in a so-called Christian country for the people of the land. Anyone remember that time? Maybe some of you maybe were not born. Joanna, you were born. But if anyone remembers, I am one of those that will never forget. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession from us, for us. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Loving Lord, as you were and are holy, I want to be. Holiness unto you is my watchword and song. I want to be harmless. And only you can keep me from the defilement of sin. I pray that sin will be separated from us as we seek you. And I am so grateful that at this time, you are in the most holy place. You and I have decision to make. Our day in court will come. Right now, as Christ is interceding, when folks go to the Mass, you see the censer being used by the priest. As our intercessor, Jesus executes self-appointed work. Beholding before God the censer containing his own spotless merit and the prayers you pray, that I pray, confessions that we make with repentance, and there is thanksgiving in it all as we look to Lord. Tonight, as Christ intercedes for us, the Spirit wants to work on our hearts, drawing forth prayers and penitence, praise and thanksgiving and gratitude that should be flowing from your lips and mine as a result of the Holy Spirit striking the chord of our souls and awakening holy music. No sooner does the child of God approach the mercy seat, then we become clients of the great advocate. Isn't that a powerful thing? And when we confess, as 1 John 1:9 tells us, he is faithful to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What decision are you making now? Before sentence will be executed and rendered by the judge. You see, the very one that is now our advocate will become our judge. Like with the Urim and the Thummim, if you are saying no to him now, he will have to say no to you as your probation is closing. A just sentence cannot be rendered in any court until the witnesses have borne their testimony for that person. A just sentence could not be executed upon an individual's death. I tell you, when many people in the world are reading from Paine and Voltaire, they have made more infidels since their death than while they were living. We need to leave those books of the world and we need to get into the Bible. A just sentence could not be passed until the records of the lives of those who had lost through their influence appeared as witnesses in their case. The day's going to come up when folks are going to say, I was reading this, I was reading that, I was studying this, that's what I had time for, I heard a sermon every Sabbath and that was good enough, and if it was just a microwaved sermon like many are, then you got nothing. The influence of the righteous is like the waves on the surface of a lake, which continues to widen. You throw a pebble in that lake and you will see what happens. And it will widen until it reaches the shore. You know, Hebrew 11 and verse 4 speaks about Abel being dead yet speaketh. I think of Wycliffe, that fearless man of God from England, could not have been judged at the close of his life, for thousands have been enlightened by his influence. The influence of his life since his voice was hushed in death. He died, giving communion one Sunday. He taught the people of God. And after he had been dead and buried 40 years, after 40 years, they dug up his body and burnt it and threw the ashes in the rye. And it has flown around the world. There are things that you have done and I have done, and no one may know, but God knows he bears record. And if you confess to him and you forsake all evil way, I do not like when people say, if there's any evil in me. From the mere fact you have the gall to say, if there is anything in me, it is because there is. When the Bible is silent, we should be silent. But God is not silent now. We are in the last generation. And the date of the opening of the great tribunal will be revealed by the Lord. And as Peter stated to the people in Acts 3:19 and 20, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. When the sins will be blotted out, it will be just before the coming. Again, in this investigative judgment hour is examination of lifetime, as the records are being kept in heaven. Daniel made a statement in Daniel 7, 9 and 10, that when the judgment was set, the books will be opened. Book 1, the book of remembrance. Book 2, the book of life. And book 3, the book of damnation. As I bring this message to a close, the Catholic Church may have a censer that they wave up and down the aisle when they move, but we have a Savior that is pleading in glory. We must recognize his depth of mercy. And as Charles Wesley, when he was converted, wrote the song, depth of mercy, can it be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare. I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him to his face, would not hearken to his calls, grieved him by a thousand falls. Now incline me to repent. Let me now my sins lament. Now my foul revolt deplore, weep, believe, and sin no more. There for us the Savior stands, shows his wounds, and spreads his hands. God is love, I know, I feel. Jesus weeps and loves me still. Do you sense what he's doing for you right now? Will you hearken unto him? Will you seek that conversation with him? Will you give your life, your all to him? Remember that on the Day of Atonement, in the typical service, only those whose sins which had been confessed, repented of, and were transferred to the sanctuary through the sin offering were carried out and laid upon the head of the scapegoat. We are in investigative judgment hour. The case of everyone is about to be investigated. Do you want your name in the book of life? I do. Your advocate and mine is in the heavenly court. But you know, sad indeed. Get that song ready for me, please, as the 8 o'clock leader will be coming on. Sad is going to be the realization that many who started on the heavenly way, but after experiencing the world, although many have confessed and were forgiven and found peace with God, somehow the heart was still in the world. And because the heart is there, the foot may be in the church, one foot may go and perform things, but the heart is in the world with its folly. That name, don't let it be yours, will be taken out of the book of life, and it will be placed in the book of remembrance, where every sin that was once confessed and forgotten will be placed. Will be placed. The book of remembrance. And then the book of damnation. That name will be there too. Don't you want the sins blotted out rather than your name? I look to Jesus right now. And as I look to him, it is by his grace that during the 1,000 years when the executive judgment will be taking place, for now the investigative judgment is taking place, has been taking place since 1844. In the year 1900, a vision was given to the prophet of the remnant church saying that God was about to end the time of judging the dead, and he was about to begin judging the living. If it took 57 years to judge the dead, we are now in 2018. At any time, he could say, it is done. Will you not give your life over to him? Take that foot that is in the world, out of the world, and follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Many will be lost who have been accounted righteous, outstanding leaders, and if they should be destroyed without an examination of the records by the saints in the executive judgment hour, there may be occasion to question the justice of God, but when the records reveal how some have worked from selfish motives and others have been guilty of cherished sins covered from the view of close colleagues and family, the awfulness of sin, the long suffering of God will be appreciated. appreciated. Let us look to him tonight. Let us become the saints that he would have us to be, and to make sure, by all means, that our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is anyone on the line? Did you hear anything from God tonight? And if you're on the line and you would like to pray, as you recognize that the solemn moment is here, we may have confessed his name. You will not be standing behind any family, any church. You in your lot must singly stand and pass the final searching test. I cry tonight, Jesus, my hope is in thee alone. While you're there at the mercy seat, I look to you as you plead your blood in our behalf. I confess my sin to you. And as you keep my name before the throne, blot out my sins from out the book, but not my name. Give us on this line the strength that we will be strong so that we can brave the conflict valiantly amidst the storm, and until on Mount Zion we will join the song of victory. Take note, dear Lord, in this solemn hour is my prayer. Is there even one person that is still with me?
Even me. This evening I come before you asking you, as you're interceding for me, to blot out my transgression, because my sins are ever before me. Let me, like Daniel, despite of the consequences, with my window open, with my heart door open, where I go, to proclaim your word. So, Lord, your interceding with me will not be in vain, because my sins will be blotted out, because I have the courage, not by myself, but with your power, to help me to reach the finish line, I pray. Amen.
I ask everybody on the line to bow your head where you are as we listen to this song. It is that time for meditation and prayer. And then the next voice you will hear is that of Brother Larry Fleming.
The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. He came in mighty fullness there. His goodness to believers won the lost, and multitudes were born again. The early Christians gathered all over the world. They preached the gospel fearlessly. Though some were martyred and crucified, they marched along in victory. Come, Holy Spirit, guide me. Your filling, your love, and your mighty power, move the mountains to the church. Then in an ancient darkness breathed the earth, the just shall live by faith must learn. The Holy Spirit gave the church to birth, as reformation fires burn.
In later years, a great revival came, when saints would seek the Lord and pray. Oh, once again, we need that holy flame to meet the challenge of today. Come, Holy Spirit. Church today. Revive the church today.